Welcome to Biggest Geekest. We are your hosts. I'm Randy.
And I'm Joe.
This is episode 175 of our show. The date is Tuesday, January 23rd, 2024. I again did not change that, but I said it right.
See how you are? Did copy?
It's a copy. I thought I had the copy and paste done, but apparently my skills are down.
Yep.
I wonder how Mac Thompson thinks we did it. Did we get close enough to on time? I know we're maybe right. a tad behind. Maybe.
There's a countdown that we get on and here in the so-called behind the screen, green room, whatever you call it. Mm-hmm. And it may differ from whatever your local clock will say. So we're like wizards. We're going to, what's the quote from Lord of the Rings?
Oh,
a wizard is never late.
They are arrived precisely when they mean to.
Right. So, yeah, we get a countdown. When that countdown goes to zero, I hit go live.
And then we decide if we're going to be live, we're just going to be zombies. Like,
right. So, and we had a little bump, a little weird thing at the beginning with the countdown. So,
yeah.
For some reason, the video clips section here in my admin area has broken image links. So that might just require a reload of the screen, but I don't see any reason to do that
right
at the moment.
Sure.
So.
Well, man, how was your week this week? Did you get any gaming on? You're working like a demon, so you're looking forward to this weekend, I know.
Yes, looking forward to this weekend. The last 2 weeks, I got called in on my day off, and I'm working late hours, which is great for the bank.
Fat cash, brother, I understand that, but dang.
Like today, I got 2 hours of overtime today.
Yep.
Usually, Tuesday is light. But for some reason, we are, we're down a few people. Don't know why.
Yep. Oh, there's a third topic. That was cool. The Ultra American. What's up, brother? We got quite a crowd. Ultra Americans in. Larry Elliott, Mac Thompson, Darth Theic, our man, the myth, the legend. He's back. Patrick Demo. And this is news for Patrick, too. Yes, the Nerd Cognito guys did review my module, and I really appreciate it. So
that's really cool.
Yeah, Patrick did the art on that, so I really appreciate their suggestions, and I thought they did a good job. They didn't give too much away. They could have been a little more. They could have told more. I wouldn't have got my feelings hurt. I've been thinking a lot about it, and I think I'm ready to write the second one. I'm feeling the itch. I would love to have one, the second module at Big Geek Con 2. If I can stick with my boy David Gwill, get him on it, I probably can theoretically get it done, but that's a lot to ask in the next few months.
It's more about how quickly you get it to him than how quickly he turns it around.
Couple of questions here on the module. First, Ultra American says, is the module available for purchase? Yes, you may get a PDF at Big Geek Emporium, and you may get a physical copy from me. So you could send either the geeks a message, is that what it was? The geeks at biggestgeekestpodcast.com. That's our email. And I will send you a copy for $10, physical copy. I got a few of those left. I've sold about 75% of what I printed, so I feel pretty good. And the PDF is cheap. It's like $4.99, I think, on Big Geek Emporium. So, yeah, it was went pretty well. David Gwill asked, they reviewed it. What was their general opinion? It was all very Legion. Legion Mist says, I'm disappointed my module wasn't signed and numbered. Well, I can absolutely
he probably wants an 8x11 glossy photo of you too.
Well, of course. I mean, that's reasonable. I mean, you know, Legion and I were tight, dude, so I understand it. Mac, we're talking about my adventure that's many months old, maybe almost a year, actually. So I've been working on it. Tragedy at Tygon's Falls. It's an OSE adventure for levels 2 to 4. It's probably kind of old news at this point. You can get it for $4.99 at Big Geek Emporium. Ryan David and the Nerd Cognito boys gave a review. They said they liked it. They were very positive. They thought that for some of them, there was too much. Make it out to what?
S-Bay.
S-Bay. Okay. I don't know what that is.
Is that an inside joke? Or he's joking. I don't get it. You should. I mean.
Yeah. Make it out to S-Bay.
Thing going on.
I know. I don't know what that is. Anyway, so the module, they were pretty positive about it. It's they liked the adventure. I think even though Kyle kind of backtracked a little bit, I think he was a little bit thought there was too much lore dump at the beginning. But I wrestled with that, and I thought, you know, I'm kind of setting up what the next adventure and the third adventure is going to be. I'm seeing a trilogy in my mind, maybe a little more. Maybe I'll get four, but that's getting way ahead of myself. Kyle and Bert and Ryan found very little to be disappointed with. I'll have some leftovers, hopefully not. Hopefully they'll be sold, but I'll have some leftovers at Big Geek Con too. Thank you, Darth, for getting a copy there. But the physical copies are $10, and I will mail them snail mail if you want one, and the $4.99 at Big Geek Emporium. They did mention that they thought some other sort of minor quibbles was that it was a little too glossy. The colors were a little too vibrant, especially for the tone of the adventure. I actually like that. I like that kind of dichotomy. So I think that was kind of cool, honestly. And they thought the art on the outside didn't quite match the theme on the inside. But then again, you know, they didn't poop on the art. They just said it seemed a little more, I guess, you know, Patrick's style can be kind of fun loving because he kind of does a,
yeah,
he does it kind of bigger than life, which I love. And
well, your stuff is dark and gritty, so maybe they expected that too,
right? And they said that was a little bit off-putting, but they loved the adventure, they loved the map. They thought you know, the dungeon part was cool. I've got bigger ideas for the next one.
We'll call you the M. Night Shyamalan of module writing. That's the you do the twist at the beginning.
The twist. I twist immediately.
Hey, so, this is gonna be a fun module. No, we're all gonna die with tentacles coming out of our
head. It kind of has a Patrick's art. Patrick should have done a White Plume Mountain because his art would have nailed that fun house type of dungeon. But I'm fine with that. And Patrick's gonna be my boy going through, so you're gonna see more of that. Though we may talk about some little twists and stuff on the next pass through. I think Patrick's about ready to get working on that.
So is the next one going to be a sequel or a prequel?
I really should do a prequel to keep with the theme of modern day. M. Randy Lovecraft, kind of. Correct, David Gwill. Not the quality, the art style. They said they thought it would match more of kind of a darker tone, but I don't know.
It might even just change the color scheme would do it. The art itself
that was part of it was the red, the glossy red. That was my choice. I liked it. David made some suggestions. We'll see how the next one comes out. This one was 22 pages. I would like it to be longer. We'll see. Maybe this one will be 35 or so. I was very, very humbled and pleased that the guys liked it over there. So,
module 2, the prequel. Module 3, the gender swap retcon. Right.
Let's just kind of wait. David Gwill says, he can change the color if you want, make it darker. And then when I do reprint, that means the bright red color can be the collector's item.
Yeah, we can make it all sepia. Sepia is kind of the dark and gritty color for everybody. So
that's pretty
make it
funny.
All sepia.
I got a feeling my stuff's not going to be collectible, but that's cool. So, but yeah.
It
so
it was, will if you put an 8x...
glossy. 8x10 glossy.
8x10 glossy in as a centerfold of you.
Well, if one of the guys on here or people watching want a physical copy, I'll put a big picture of me on it and they can do that. So, Iron Man, good point. He says a baby Bulette is cute, not dark. He's right. Just a little baby.
Oh, sure.
That would bite your arm off.
Right. At the very least.
Yeah, Patrick said was the blood
best. Supposed to be black? I can't help if there's bright red at that point. Right. Make it sepia.
Yeah. And they were kind of, they said it, I think they said it would fit in pretty well. And that's why I wrote it there. But I got to thinking about the lore dump at the beginning. I just, yeah, I wish I could have streamlined that. It's not very old school.
Can you make it a sidebar?
Possibly, but I think there's things in there that need to be known should I actually get around to having a sequel, because things will come into play that the dungeon master has to know.
Well, sure, but you can do that in a sidebar too. They still can know it.
True. I see. Oh, so they wouldn't have to read it, you mean?
Or they can
read it at their leisure.
Yeah. And you can indicate it, right? Yeah. So as they're going through the meat of the module, the text in that part can refer to see sidebar on page blah, 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 or see sidebar to the right for more details.
I'm going to type for Mac the name of the module, Tragedy at Tygon's Falls. There you go, Mac. But yeah, it was kind of cool to hear people review. I was a little nervous because Ryan David texted me this morning. He's like, dude, we did the review of your adventure on the Big Show. And so I said, okay. And then on Twitter, I was like, good, bad, or ugly, give it to me. Then after I said it, I was like, I'm not sure I want that. So it was cool.
Right. So this is addressed to you, but I'm going to read it because I'm going to read it. From David Gwill, I have an idea for a picture for the glossy in a similar vein to the Biggest Geek at Centurion pick I did a while back. So do you remember seeing that?
Yeah.
It's basically the Centurion from Life of Brian.
I need to print those off and send
with
them
my out head stuck on it.
I know. You should do something like that with me, and I print it off and throw David a couple of shekels and then see just slide them into the adventure. Be great. I wish I had it with me. Patrick, we did a white elephant exchange. I don't know if folks here know what a white elephant exchange is, but you're supposed to give things away you have laying around or something quirky. And Patrick gave the best gift one year. It was a picture of him. It was like, to my number one fan. And he's like doing this. It was so cool. I literally made it an effort to get it. Oh, there you go.
It's a neck to ankle swimsuit.
Heck no, Speedo.
Speedo. Nobody wants to see that.
What's up, Shadow? Go ahead.
Definitely won't be able to post it here because then we'll get our channel canceled.
True. Have you, did you play any games this week though?
No, I've been working too hard. Work, 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 work.
Yeah. Rejoice said that picture's in my game room. So I know I've got it out. It needs to get hung up. I did game last Saturday, had a good day with the guys for the Minders group. I played Savage Worlds again, and dang it, I love that system. There is something, I mean, I'm not saying it's the most fabulous thing in the known universe, but I really have fun with it. It's simple. For me, it's easy to prep. I think I don't worry so much about when I prep an adventure, I don't worry so much about the details as I do in other systems. Don't know why, but I do love the, system itself. It's quick and dirty, and we played a cool dystopian future part of our campaign. I won't go into it, but I had a good time. Played about 4 or 5 hours. We did have our friend Darren. Remember Darren H?
Everyday Heroes?
Yeah, no. It's not Everyday Heroes.
What's the system again?
It's Savage Worlds is a system for our core. Gotcha. This is the game that's kind of a Quantum Leap type campaign.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And we had it going for about a year, and it hasn't slowed down. So we're having a great time. We We Discorded in our buddy Darren H from Cabin Con, and he played a little bit. Got to work on the sound a little bit. So, but it was good. It was a good day. Fun stuff was had a good time. Almost got killed by some crazy spiders from another planet. So it was fun. What else do I want to talk about? Oh yeah. I got this yesterday. This is The Dreams in Gary's Basement. It is a DVD by Patrick Kilbane. It is kind of I won't call it the flip side, but it's basically a biopic or a biography of Gary Gygax. It was way behind on Kickstarter. I had kickstarted that thing. I want to say 2019, 2018. I think I got in on Backer Kit, actually.
Oh, yeah?
But, dude, I talked. So it's been a long time, you know, 6 years since I had kickstarted it. There you go.
So here is the pick that I was talking about, the Centurion pick. So
nice.
So we could have that as a on one side, and then something appropriate, appropriately similar,
right?
For you on the others, with you on the other side,
right? Cool. But this was a good. I watched it last night as soon as it came in. I really enjoyed it. I have Sacreds of Blackmoor, but for some reason I can't find it. You walked into trouble, son. That's what Ryan David said. What has he walked into? I want to compare the two. So once I find it, I know it's laying around here somewhere. I'm going to watch them both again and compare and contrast. I do not think they are fully at odds. I think it's a fair viewpoint. Luke Gygax in particular, I like when they bring up the question of Arneson and the physical issues and the lawsuits, that Luke said, yes, I'm probably biased because he was my dad, but this is what I thought. And I'm going to watch them again, but I have an opinion about how things worked out with them, and it'll be fun to talk about it. And I may do that as an episode. We may do a little review if I can get Joe to watch it too. So,
right. So that sounds good.
Are we ready to roll into the topic du jour?
I think we are.
Okay, let me do my thing because I need to set this up just perfectly. So this is the feel of what we're shooting for. I'm losing in this game. I'm trying to impress upon you when I'm the same. My own individuality is so unique. I'm more impressive, motherfucker, now. Wouldn't you say? All right. I think that's enough. What do you think, Joe?
That's enough. That's enough of that crap.
Joe loves Disturbed. It's actually one of my favorite. I hope people could hear that.
Yeah. This topic. It's not them in particular.
Right.
I just don't like yelly people.
Divide. Oh, I love it. Metal. I'm not so much into, like, what is that? Screamy metal, but I do like a little yelling. It's cool. So this topic was done by Mr. Max Boivin. Yes, that's another good song, Ultra American. He brought up about a few days ago, a week or so. no, I call him an awesome band. L said, is that what you call a garbage band? All right. But Mr. Boivin brought up the idea of it's okay to divide the hobby. I watched most of this video. Joe will provide the link. I would suggest you listen to it. It's really good. And I got to thinking, Joe, he's right on multiple levels. Why not just accept the natural divisions? And I'm talking about even the bro SRs, even the sparkly trolls who play baristas, and let it happen. And let's see who wins if it's a competition.
I'm
just saying,
but we say still see what happens.
If 4D role playing is the elite, it should draw people. Maybe not. Maybe people don't want to be elite. If bro SR is the real D&D, it should draw people.
What was 4D again? I forgot.
Okay. So I did some research in this, watched Legions of Myth take on 4D. It's essentially, you would hate it, Joe. It's essentially full immersion. Where you don't full immersion D&D, where you don't really speak out of character, and right, David Gwill, it's going to be divided anyway. Yeah. So why not encourage it? And by that I mean let it. And see, some people, Mac, and I think Mac Thompson is okay to have that opinion. I'm probably not as negative on the 4D. I could probably sit in with Max and them. It's really the 28 millimeter DM, and I think Shauner, it drive people crazy, but honestly, I could probably play at Shauner's table. I probably could. I'm not saying it wouldn't. What gets at me is some of the pretentiousness.
And yeah, the fact that if that's better, the way you like to play, that's one thing. But if you say things like this is the best way to play, or we're elite, and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, you can say that if you like, but it's,
And I think you can do this. I mean, if you want, Ultra American says, remember, gatekeeping is good. I think you can if you want to. I think what you can do is just say, look, screech about the eliteness if you want to. Who cares? And we can complain about it. And they can complain about us that we're lesser D&D players from the Bro SR or the Krieg, the Free Krieg Spiel or whoever. And because it used to be a thing where when I was going to Gen Con back in the 90s, one of the big competitions was a little bit of the card flopper stuff with Magic. And then the LARPs. The LARPers were considered, those are just, you know, pure actors or they want to be actors. And we thought that's dumb. I don't think LARPing is dumb. I could do it. It wouldn't be it's not my number one on my list. I could even do the Bro SR thing because honestly, I'm not always against political intrigue, but it would wear on me over time. I think I'm somewhere else in my gaming.
Right. Well, the thing is, all of these are, we can consider all of this stuff tools in the toolbox if you want and use the different things whenever you feel like you want to. You know, if you want to have a session where once you get your butt in the seat, you're not saying anything that's not in character, I think it's kind of silly. But yeah. But that's a play style. But it's not a superior play style. I don't think there's any such thing, really.
Arnman says, and this is a good point. I don't know all the statements that were made. He says, I didn't agree that 1D and 2D definitions included that the games were railroads. I just don't know where they're getting from the D part, like dimensional stuff, like one dimension. What is one dimensional D&D where someone, and I guess I'm trying to guess, takes a module out and reads the box text word for word, and all people do is move their minis on the board to fight, set up the next fight.
The naming convention itself is pretentious because whoever came up with it is 4D, of course, is super awesome, a huge brain stuff. But 1D, whatever that might mean, is, you know, lesser. So it's kind of weird.
And L says this. Max is right. 4D has no real GM. All players are also GMs at the table. It's just a session of improv pretending. When I say he's right, that's what it seemed like when I first watched the video of 28mm running his Traveler game. But I need to watch the whole thing to be sure. Oh, thank you. L says, yeah, Rick. Rick is the 28mm guy. He's always been cool to me. If you really want to understand 4D, see Rick's Game Master Prep videos and read 28mm's post with the list. Yeah, sure. That's fine. Go ahead. Do your thing.
So Shadow and Sun says, a superior game is one that everyone at the table enjoys and can't wait to play again. Yeah, precisely.
Agreed.
It's irrelevant of system. It's irrelevant of any particular play style. Just, did you guys have fun? You want to come back again? Then you had a great game.
Yeah. Mac made a point about my comment about LARPing. I ran and played in LARP Vampire and Werewolf for years in the 90s. It was fun. We didn't act like we were part of the elite thespian crowd, though. Yeah, I don't think they thought they were elite always, but I did think they were kind of weird. I thought they, there all was the some makeup. Vibe
for, yeah. For some, a subset of those players that felt that role playing in Vampire was a superior thing to D&D. We don't play D&D.
But I'll be honest.
We play Vampire.
Yeah, I got some of that. I got to be honest, though. At the end of my second edition run, when I played second edition from beginning to end, my games were becoming pretty talky-talky. Joe wasn't around at the end of second very much. I ran Planescape. I ran Ravenloft. To me, it was natural places to let things to be more role play, be more story, be more political intrigue. And so I let it happen and I enjoyed it, but I can understand the disappointment. Patrick says, nobody wants one D&D. What was that we're talking about? Not exactly, but one D&D is even that, dude. If that's what you want to play. If you want to be on a computer all the time, you know, moving things around on a virtual tabletop and just, you know, continually rebuying all your stuff and, you know, upgrading and keeping a subscription going because that's what they want. I can hate it because there's the question, right? I'm not going to say let's all be excellent to each other, but I wonder if we shouldn't all try to be excellent. There's nothing wrong with pursuing. Not just nothing wrong. I think you should pursue excellence, even in your hobbies. I think you should. And I mean that, I know, Joe, you shouldn't do anything. Yeah, I think you should. I think it's good. I think it's good for you.
Oh, okay, here. What 1D means. From Arn Man, quote, the 1D game master fully constructs a scenario to entertain his players with little input from the players other than letting them roll dice for his railroaded story. It's a quote. So Arn Man, I don't think would call that a railroad. And, you know, just preparing the scenario ahead of time isn't, in my opinion, a railroad.
For some people, it is.
Yeah. I'm going to do what I want to. Who are you to make a scenario, Mr. DM?
Right.
I mean, it's such a weird attitude.
It is a weird attitude. I don't know. I'm the guy running the game. But in the 4D situation, I mean, I don't know. Maybe you show up and go, last we left off, what were you guys doing? Because I had nothing to do with it. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you like to be maybe you're kind of voyeuristic if you're the DM at a 4D game.
All right, here's the next part.
2D, yeah.
The 2D, also from Arn Man, a quote, the 2GM may opt to listen to the player in character voices and integrate banter into the GM's railroad story.
Okay.
So it seems like if the DM or GM comes up with the scenario beforehand, that is per se a railroad.
The only other options, oh, really? Then he says the only other options are 3D, fully in character, then 4D. How are you not, how is 4D not fully in character? Oh, I guess
they're both are. They both are, but the difference between 3D, yeah, 3D and 4D, I think looks like 4D has all the, you know, no real DM bullcrap.
So I guess my sessions might be 2.5D because I do tend to write adventures and get ready and see what the players do. So.
Right. So David Gwill asks, whoops.
Ultra American.
Does the whatever D stuff have actual definitions or is it like OSR mostly means whatever you want? So, so Arn Man quoted those things and, there's probably somewhere that may get, more precise in the definitions. I don't know. But it seems like there's enough there to make it practically whatever you want to. It's fairly subjective, seems like.
I think Legion may have it here, a more clarifying definition. 3D is in character, but reacting to the world. So sandboxy. So you role play in character, but you react to the world. 4D is the players can improv. Okay. Oh, Arn Man says, by their definition, Big Geek Con, all the games there would be 2D. Right, because the DM, now, to be fair to them, if that's how they define it, okay, all the Big Geek Con games would be 2D because we prepared an adventure. But when you have a four-hour slot, if I have a four-hour slot to run a portion of Tygon's Falls, which I did last year, and those guys have been like, nah, we're not doing it, we're going off a different way. I'd have probably winged it because I was very excited to be there. But deep down, I would have said, you're a bunch of dicks. That's what I thought. That's the truth. Because the truth of it is, at a con, you got to play that way. You got to jump in and join it.
Now, I'm going to also say that if you as a play group like the 4D thing, it is a play style. And that's fine. It's none of these play styles I really have a huge problem with. Many of them I won't really care for, but it's fine if you guys want to do it out there in the hobby land. The problem that I will have is when people start saying dumb crap like this is the best way.
Yeah.
Per se, not the best way for me or for that person, but it is objective or it is objectively superior, which is what the BroSR are always saying, or certain BroSR folks on Twitter will make the objectively superior claim, which is know, ridiculous.
Yeah. Some people says they create equally, but let me see here. The players, I'll start with Doodle Squatch here. A couple of good comments. Doodle Squatch, welcome. The difference between 3D and 4D seems to be just a courtesy given to players by the DM to help create the environment and narrative. I've done that.
Yeah.
I agree with David Gwill. He says that doesn't make sense because you can prep an adventure. Players can still react. Absolutely. Iron Man says that I don't think 4D players create equally with the GM, but rather create things that would be there, such as asking, such as going to a public restroom without asking if there is a restroom. Yeah. And as long as you're not saying, well, I'm just going to pick up the Vorpal Sword. There's no Vorpal Sword in the Goblin Lair.
Railroad. That's a railroad.
Yeah.
Objectively speaking, that is a railroad.
No, Ultra American. I don't believe we're talking at all about additions.
No.
We're talking dimensions of play, 3D, 4D.
Okay, this is super pretentious.
It really is. But you know what? If that's what they want to do, do it. L might have the short version, 1D. I move my mini to the table. 2D, is there a knife on the table in the room? 3D, I go to the table, look for a knife. 4D, I get the knife from the table. That sounds like my understanding.
Yeah.
But it still sounds like poop. I mean, and when I mean poop, I mean, yeah, you are getting on that land. You're getting down that road of my poop doesn't stink. Look how good of a player I am.
Or it's an all or nothing thing.
Correct.
You can do all of that stuff at the same time. You can do all that stuff in a particular session.
I've probably played every version there.
Yeah.
I have probably played a version of 4D where what's Bo Paints Minis say?
Bo Paints Minis says, I am waiting for Donald Trump to introduce 5D.
Well, that's where you dress like your character.
Well, what it is, it's Donald Trump announces 5D, says something that doesn't make any sense, and then all of his supporters say, just wait. It'll make sense. And it never does.
Doodle Squatch. With 4D, the players railroad the DM. And yeah, you're right. It shouldn't cause a big controversy. I think it's just more of the... It just sounds a little... If they would have said, look, we play a game that's more like this. And it's not like I haven't heard of this. This is not new. What they're doing is not new. I've heard of people that do this. And just say, and I think what Bob Ann was saying, yeah, we're just doing what we do. I don't know if he's one of the ones that's been trumpeting the superiority of it, how you're lesser. But I think the labeling of 1, 2, 3, 4, as if you're on a hierarchy of better gaming, that gets under people's skin. Especially
coupled with calling it with the dimensions, right?
Mm-hmm. Your two-dimensional thinking.
And you know,
three-dimensional thinking.
So weird. You know. Yeah.
Patrick's got it.
There's,
I want a 20-dimensional thinking. That's one of the, or 100-dimensional. That's one of the highest dices.
Yeah. So people talk about fracturing the player base. And that's why we should be gatekeeping so that we can homogenize things in a sense.
Right.
And it's not ever going to work.
Well, we talked.
It didn't really work even when there was only one game.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. When D&D was one of three or four games.
Even when D&D first came out, it was, I'll get to that. I'm going to save that for this when I describe it. By the way, if you can get this, get it. It's worth a watch. It's about an hour and a half long. It's a really good little video. It's on par with Secrets of Blackmoor, but it has a different spin. I think it's where I didn't think Secrets of Blackmoor pooped on Gygax in a full hardcore way. They definitely do not poop on Arneson, but they do. They might be a little more needly than the Arneson guys were. Maybe not. I don't know if I guess I can't ask this question then. Well, I will. So, because we're going to lead into the next one. What is our play style? I mean, we don't have to be 1D, 2D, 3D, but thinking of this is kind of a play style approach. Where do we fit, Joe, do you think, when we play? Are we at 2.5? Is that a good way to say it?
We're all over the place.
I agree.
I mean, sometimes we'll have a session spanning combat, and then we're all like, that was awesome. And then we'll have a session where you were just in town doing town stuff, because yeah. It just happens that way. Not that it was planned, perhaps, but it happens that way. And the GM is Bull Paints Mini says the GM is not just another player. He or she is the absolute god of the universe.
He's beyond the god. He controls the god.
Right.
Oh. Interesting. Legion says my GM for Rifts is RPG is dumb. Game is considered 3D according to Rick. Oh, okay. Okay, whatever. That's fine. I feel like we're doing, got a lot of free form in there, a lot of freedom to do stuff. I don't feel even remotely shackled or railroaded in any way, shape, or form. Not that I don't think 3D is railroady. I think it's not railroady. I think I'm completely fine I'm completely fine with 2 or 3 maybe, if we're gonna, but let's not do 3D. I don't think
it's really a big deal to classify.
Oh, it's not a big deal. It was an interesting question to me.
Well, the thing is it depends on what day you're talking.
Yeah. And our groups are too big. Okay. Our group's too big.
Correct. And which subset of our group, right?
Yeah.
Some are more into the role playing. I don't really think that we ever get to fully 4D according to this stupid list.
No.
But you're fine with a player wanting to grab the football and run with it. Mm-hmm. Narratively, as long as they're not placing things in there that they shouldn't, like you were saying, the Vorpal Sword.
Too much liberty. It's a dangerous thing to give the players. I mean, when they don't have that much control, they're dangerous. But if they have a lot of control, the game can just, it can get silly.
Yeah. What if you have 4 or 5 players at the table, especially if they want to go in a completely different direction, from each other and the DM.
I mean, if we're at the town and Joe decides, someone asks him, what are you doing? Well, I was talking to the farmer and he said there was a dragon not too far from here. Now, if that's all Joe says, that's not a problem for me, because if I don't want it to be true, he'll be wrong. The farmer will have lied.
If I want it to be true,
I can do whatever I want. But if Joe says, what's that? What's L saying?
L says, Randy, I would rather know the rating of your game on the Scoville scale. How will your eyes burn and your mouth dry out from sitting in your game? Like hot food. Yeah. Scoville is hot food scale.
Oh, you know,
because you like hot food. He's saying it because you like hot food.
L, I would say that probably that can probably best be answered when you see me get GM, which is on the horizon for this year. It's going to happen. I'm going to GM on the stream. I'm going to GM live. We're going to do it live. or we're going to do it. Maybe we'll record it and then put it up as a video, but I think I'm going to do that. And I want to let you guys see how I DM, so you can see Joe cry when he doesn't get match items, which is hilarious.
Hey, we did all this dangerous stuff. And Randy will say something silly like, I'm not going to give you match items for free.
You guys got 50 gold each. What you crying about? Bill O'Randy. That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, in the end, we probably shouldn't worry about it. Oh, what's Patrick saying to me?
Patrick has a point to make here. If you measured Randy's games in Scoville's, Joe could never participate.
True.
Well, do Doritos rate on the Scoville scale?
Doritos probably barely do.
But I can go a couple of steps higher than that.
Okay.
Not many.
Yeah.
Or a spell book. It doesn't have to be a magic item.
No spell books. They literally don't exist. Except for my NPC wizards who, as soon as they're killed, they disappear.
They disappear.
And Flady's giving you a hint here. He says, just hire the hobgoblins. Everything will work out fine. It sure did at Big GeekCon, didn't it? You suckers. I had you. They literally skipped the TPK room. Oh, well.
According to Ryan David, Doritos Flamas are mid-level wicked hot.
Never had those. Sounds like I need to.
If the food package has flames on it, I avoid it.
Your boy, the boy here, Mr. Duncan Bradley, he's not kidding. He can do the hot stuff. I think he can beat me. There's another colleague I know at work that can definitely eat hotter than me. I'm not like a, I think I've said before, ghost pepper is my cap, dude. Anything beyond ghost pepper, I'm kind of punting. And I really like habanero and lower. That's better. But anyway, so yeah, that's interesting. I don't know. I agree. I don't think we have to categorize ourselves, but I think it'd be interesting to think about it. But as you said, with 20 gamers, and man, the more this year we're going to have two or three new people at Cabin Con. Who knows how we'll expand our gaming group. So
it's like, it's all over, and none of them are absolute. The other issue with this is some kind of absolutism, as if the 1D GM doesn't ever or can't or whatever other word you want to put in there have some sort of narrative bone that they throw to the PCs or the players, right? So you make up the scenario on your own and don't ask for input. Oh, no. But at the table, you can ask for all kinds of input because that's the interplay that the player and the GM always have. And when the players decide to follow up on a particular clue or the quest giver says, hey, there's gold in them thar hills. When the players go there or follow a different clue or a different breadcrumb that the DM lays out, they are contributing to the narrative. Just by playing the game. So acting like the players have to invent a thing out of thin air for the narrative to be served is weird.
Yeah.
The DM gives the players several options. The players pick a particular option and they have interact with NPCs. All of that is kind of part of the narrative. So I don't know why people have to hem and haw about, I want a part of the narrative. Play the game, dang it. All you got to do is play. You are contributing to the narrative of just about any role-playing game that you are playing.
I agree. A couple of side questions because they're fun. L claims that Ghost Pepper is only exceeded by Carolina Reaper. I'm not sure, and I can't eat anything. I said ghost pepper is my maximum. I can't say that I fully enjoy eating a ghost pepper flavored thing. Patty asked,
is that flavor?
There is some to it. It's almost, for me, it's almost too hot to be considered flavorful. I wouldn't choose to eat a ghost pepper. Like we have, Larry Elias brought ghost pepper cheese to Cabin Con and I put it on chicken or steak. And yeah, violence, I agree. It's tasty as a super hot thing can be. I like a step down, but I can do it. I can say, well, that's still pretty good, but it's hot and you might sweat.
Matt Thompson says the flavor is molten iron and acid. Yeah. That doesn't sound like flavor. That sounds like torture.
If I get a chance, Patty said he would share my book, PDF book of the link. It's at Big Geek Emporium, buddy. It's Tygon's Falls. I'll put that in here if I can. I tried to share a link to Mac Thompson. He asked about a physical book.
Have to send an email.
Send an email to the geeks at biggestgeekestpodcast.com. I tried to write that in the YouTube thing. It wouldn't put it in there. I don't know.
No, you can't. You cannot enter. You can't put links in the YouTube comment box. You can do it here in our thing. We can as like the geeks at biggest geekus.
Yeah. So yeah.
Podcast.com.
Yeah. Do that. Do that, Mac. I got you, brother. I can hook you up. Oh, wait a minute. So you did it? How come I couldn't do it? Say that again, Joe. Why couldn't I do that?
Because you suck.
You did it in StreamYard, didn't you, Steve?
Yeah. Here in StreamYard, we can because we have permission to do it from here, but you cannot do it. You can't do it from the comment box because people can because it's
possible.
People can do weird things in there and screw things up. So they don't allow anything.
Fair enough.
Just plain text. Fair enough.
All right. Cool. Oh, anyway, why don't you tell them to do the things, man? That'd be cool. I think we're kind of done with this topic. What do you think? Thought it might be short and sweet, unless you got more to say.
No, I mean, really all I have to say is
subscribe.
Look, we all have our own play styles. I'm not going to say that every table has its own unique play style that's not duplicated anywhere. They're pretty close. There's lots of different subtypes. But who cares what style you adopt at your table?
Mm-hmm.
Most of us could care less what other people do at their own tables.
I care. Care is a strong word. I'm interested. I'm intrigued by what other people do. I find it fun to, I think it's fun to, maybe we're not leaving the topic. I think it's fun to kind of look at the people. You're like, I don't agree with how the bro SR is so weird about it.
I don't agree so how being a little interested in seeing different play styles is cool, but that's where I think that's where, you know, that's the end of it for me. Oh, you got a different play style. What does it involve? Oh, okay. That's cool. Moving along.
Yeah.
But for some people, they got to whinge about it. And for other people, they've got to say that their play style is better than your play style. It's weird. What does it matter? I mean, superiority is weird in this.
You can have the hobby of archery and it could matter.
But this is not that.
It's not a competition either.
No.
By definition, I got to know now. I got to look it up. What? So a hobby. Definition. A small European falcon. No. A strong hobby. Wait a minute. That's crap. Definition of a hobby. Come on. A pursuit outside one's regular occupation, engaged especially for relaxation. So if we're doing this as a hobby, I guess it shouldn't be competitive.
Not from table to table. When you're at the table, there's a competitive attitude at the table as far as engaging in the scenario and wanting to defeat the monster. So you're strategizing and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not, our playing at our table isn't in competition with somebody else's game at another table.
Even if it is better.
Right. I mean, even if we could,
there was a probably way to, if we could measure that
with, you know, much confidence say, you know, we're better, but we could just say that in general. We don't have to qualify that with D&D. We can just say we're better because we are.
But we think that.
Yeah, but it's just weird. Why? What does it matter? Play your game, have fun, share your play style. People may find it interesting, and that's probably about as far as we should really go. We can make fun of people who want to, you know, call journaling role playing.
Mm-hmm.
Or horse girl.
Iron Man says the outlier play styles lend themselves to cheerleading. I really don't listen, to be honest. Some good questions here. I've started several. Dice Tells, welcome, buddy. Let's see here. Mark Thompson asked some good questions here. Mac Thompson, Mark's brother, Mac. How about this? With these divisions happening, how much do you think is attributed to age gap? How much is familiarity with technology? How much of it is this indoctrination from the woke? I think I want to do an adventure by going to Starbucks in Sigil is woketude. It's weirdness. It's a little bit of age stuff too. It's just a weird way to role play. It's also possibly video game related. There are video games that you do and board games where you do weird crap. Like
every weird everyday crap.
Ryan David, for example, said there's a video game out called Kelp. We're talking about the plant that's in the sea and the waters. And so, man, that's the theme. And I'm just kind of like, I don't get what you're even doing.
Well, there's a video game where you lead fish around and they eat things.
Yeah. So I think age gap is probably a thing, but usually age gap is just a function of getting those youngsters at your table so they can see different options. Indoctrination, maybe.
If your play style involves some sort of enforced representation and making having an overlay of current day political structures and politics and struggles in your game, those things are more from the woke side of things. Most of us on the other side, we are in it for escapism. So we don't want real world issues except as an undercurrent to our games. We just want to go and beat the monsters up and take their stuff on a high level.
I think the technology part, though, is interesting because I think some of the younger people that have learned to play D&D on a VTT or had to do it because of the COVIDs, I wonder if they just prefer it. That's where D&D is moving little dudes around a pre-made map. So they're engaged visually, and some would say then their imagination gets stunted, but I don't think that has to be the case. But they may like a certain sort of thing. So, I mean, yeah, it could have a play. I think it very could. And then Mac follows up, and I got several other people with good comments, so don't worry, guys. I've starred a lot. And how long will divisions persist now that all this woke D-I-E, I corrected you there, it's D-I-E because you will die, stuff is beginning to backfire on them, and corporations are beginning to pull back?
We're always going to have different play styles,
but
at different tables. Always.
Agreed.
Because we're different people.
But you wonder if there's a type we're seeing more and more. Maybe. Yeah.
No, we're going to.
We will.
Now, whether or not many of them will persist in saying that it's superior or you're a white supremacist if you don't play this particular way.
Right.
That's going to wax and wane, but we're always going to have different play styles.
Right. Let's see here. Patty says, I'm always interested in hearing how other people play. I only ever offer commentary if I hear that they're playing a rule wrong by accident. Anything else is whatever to me. Okay. Even if they're playing if they enjoy playing the rule wrong most of the time, I don't care. I never feel the need to say anything about correcting somebody with a rule unless they're saying, man, I just discovered this is the right way to play. And this rule says this. And even then, I'm not going to comment. I just don't care enough.
Right.
That's true. Dystales brings in something a little controversial. He says there are aspects to style of role playing that have an impact beyond your table.
I doubt it.
I'm going to follow him up. I'm not sure I'm with you on this, Dystales. It does matter because if you have a poor play style, how do you define that? That doesn't sustain immersion and fascination, then you turn other newcomers away from the hobby. I don't think so.
You can't expect everybody to gel with you at your table. They may not like your play style, but they may like the game and go somebody else's table.
I think you can leave a bad taste in the mouth of somebody who is new to the hobby. It is conceivable.
I remember going to a table and I hated their play style, but it didn't get me out of the hobby.
Yeah.
So
he says, I don't think you're an elitist. He says, I'm not an elitist. I don't think you are, Dystales. I would welcome anyone and all, but I do believe that our hobby is harmed by people playing in games where they sit there and roll D20 to do combat for an hour. I don't think so, because I think they're welcome to do that. And there are people that enjoy that, dude. There are people that are grognards older than me, and that's what they want.
Right.
They just want to move through the dungeon. And there's third edition guys at my age and younger that loved just moving things through a map, little minis, and fighting. And the role playing was like, yeah, I'm going to help you do this thing. I'm going to kill the necromancer for you. Then they go in and do it.
Right. And most of the immersion for them happens in their imagination and their own.
Correct. They don't feel the need to even talk about it.
Right.
But yeah, I get it. Lots of more comments. Let's see here. I don't know if I agree with you, L. I don't think immersion is like 4D. I do think immersion is, for me, it's important to have it. Let me rephrase it. I have more fun when I have it. Dystel says he thinks that, more talking to Patty, the taxonomy is a problem. However, 4D is a style that keeps people immersed, fascinated, and challenged with new challenges. Maybe. Maybe it does. Maybe it doesn't.
But that's not the only way to keep people challenged.
Correct.
There's all kinds of ways to do that.
Yeah. I agree with you, Patty. I liked hearing how Max, Mr. Patty says, Mr. Max talked about it, but I don't think, I think it gives too much power to the players. For me, yeah, I'm kind of past all that.
Right. So if you're a player that wants that, you find a DM that and a table that provides that. When you play, you want to just blow off some steam. You don't want to have to come up with stuff on the fly, you know, because a lot of people, they just want to play.
Oh, L asked me to qualify. I didn't read his whole statement. He said, Dice Tales, immersions like 4D, the term has no real meaning as it varies from person. Okay, my bad, L. Did not mean to paint you in that light, sir. My bad.
Right. So immersion, like we were saying, differs from person to person.
Mm-hmm.
And immersion is not required.
Disco Barbarian, laying it down. Not every table is for every person. I don't think it pushes people away. I don't think you can. I don't think you can play in such. Well, I can say this. I know that I had a player, a young lady used to live up here in Michigan, and she played. And she told me that she was married to one of our players at the time. Later, they got separated. She left. She said, "Randy, I'll play D&D with you guys. I want you to know, I had a really bad experience in high school. I don't think I like it." She played 30 minutes at my table. And she was into it. And at the end, she was like, that's a completely different game than what I played. And so I think you can turn people off. You can turn people off. You can turn them onto the hobby. I think it's very possible. And, you know, if those because people.
Go ahead.
I get it. I just think those people, you know, can't be helped. I don't think I can do a game that everybody will love. My experience, which is purely anecdotal, is I think I can run a game that a pretty good variety of people can enjoy.
Yeah.
They wouldn't all say, oh, I love Randy as a DM, but they all say would probably say, that's a pretty fun game.
It was a fun game.
Yeah. It's pretty fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fun is, it's a game. We're supposed to have fun because that's what happens when you play games.
I have annoyed players. I have annoyed this player.
Yeah.
I've done things that he would fully even today say, I disagree with that, ruling, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But I think that doesn't mean the game sucked. It just means that time was kind of poop in their mind. And, you know, probably
that was one issue. I'm not a one issue player.
Well, so. And it was probably one issue in that one instance.
Right.
Yeah.
So, right. I know that Dice Tales is probably trying to shed a good light on 4D, and that's fine. There are some people that like that, but
yeah,
it's not for everybody. And our play style that we generally play at our tables isn't for everybody because some people want the whole thespian thing, and I'm going to call it that. They want it.
I don't want it, but I can do it. Dice Tales, don't feel bad at all. No need to say anything. He says he wants to say that reasonable people can differ. I'm here to argue in terms of rational argumentation like the Greeks. Not here to. You are not demeaning us, and you are not belittling us. I don't feel that, sir. It's all good, brother.
He put that as – that's what I was reflecting too. Yeah. There's lots of people. There's lots of different styles of play.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of – I mean, there's people that talk about doing lewd things and they say that's part of the game. If that was when you played D&D for the first time, the other players were getting all lewd with you. Mm-hmm. I mean, most of us who are geeks, we get kind of weirded out when people do stuff like that.
Unless I think we're
joking around.
Me too. It's got to be, and I wouldn't do it with the opposite sex. I'm actually more likely to be lewd with Joe and my friends, but, with this young lady was with us. I think that was part of the problem and part of it was stupidity. I can't remember what it was, man. Something to do with a gelatinous cube and somebody like snorting it up their nose. And they were just doing silly stuff. And she's like, I don't even know what we're doing. And then she got in my game and she's like, this is great. I mean, cause she was, when I talked to her about, you know, you talk about somebody about, oh, what do you think about Lord of the Rings? What do you think about fantasy? What do you think about Willow and these books and different things? She's like, oh, I love that. I love that. I'm like, you will probably like D&D or at least consider it.
So Weird Guy makes great points here. My games are fun. Awesome. You just have to accept me as your Lord and Master who never makes a mistake as a GM and bring pizza. Eat.
We have to
point out that these days the word master is a no-no word.
We do.
It's a colonialist lingo that you should be ashamed of.
Yeah. I think in the end, I'm good with the division because everybody's getting the things they want out of the hobby. I'm not good when one version, and this is where we, a lot of us will say, you know, the blue-haired people that play D&D, and that's kind of harsh sometimes, but whatever. They do their thing. They want to play a transgendered elf at their table, and they want to have a romance. I think it's dumb as crap. It doesn't feel like it. It's not a D&D game I would sit down and play. And I could just say, let it go. And the bro SR, I could say, let it go. 4D people, do your thing, man. Knock yourself out. Cool. Just don't come back and say I'm doing it wrong. And don't get mad at me because I'm somehow not, you know, I'm kowtowing to the man.
Right, right. So, and so, but there's going to be lots of play stylers out there who will say that they are superior or elite because that's what the bro SR does. And us saying you shouldn't isn't going to stop them from doing that. So what we will do is point fingers and say that there's that the folks on that side of the hobby, the bro SR, I don't think it's all of them. I think it's only a couple of weirdos on Twitter that are we're elite, yo. Those guys are dumb. Not the whole bro SR. I mean, to me, I think it's just reading about it makes me yawn. Not boring yawn, just exhausted yawn.
Yeah. And
as a DM, I wouldn't want to fill out that form. Here's a form for you.
Yeah. Patty says, the division doesn't bother me. Do your thing. Play your game. It's when the attacks become personal. And I think there's a lot of people in our neck of the woods, on our side of the table. And I don't mean political, just the way we kind of think about it. I think they're just, that's how they do, man. Look, I think the way I play is the best. Some of you guys would sit down and play and say, dude, Randy isn't even a Magic Items in 9 adventures. I'm out. I mean, Joe's been playing with me for years, so I would say I'm doing something right.
So you get what happens is you have times when you're weak and you do hand magic items out. Then you're like, oh, really regret giving those 10th level players a +1 sword.
I do.
I was so weak.
I can't sleep for days when I do that. My campaign is completely broken.
Yeah, I have to get on track. Right. So I think it's a good thing that there are lots of different play styles. Because then we can talk about it and compare notes.
Right, and that's it. Legion says, this is a great comment, watch the Palladium Fantasy game that Bear, the Gen X GM, ran on Saturday for us. It was the best, or else get the F out.
The best, yo.
Okay, segment number 2. Shall we transition that fast or not? Because this is not, I don't think Joe and I.
You didn't even take a breath.
No, that's how I do.
I mean, not a full one. You sucked it in. But you didn't let it out.
And topic number 2. We told them to do the things. No,
but we didn't really. All I did was put the thing up.
Subscribe, people.
Subscribe. Do the thing. Subscribe, like, share, comment, follow, depending on what platform you find our content on, whether it's audio or video.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Cal. Cal won't let it go, but I love it. Divided, but each piece regenerated. all the tables divided, and then they regenerated. All right, the second topic, I'm thinking Joe and I are not going to agree on this. I was on Twitter /X. Hold on. Patty says, I remember when Joe told me he didn't like dice pools. Then my immediate reaction was, damn, time to burn some bridges. You don't like dice pools, you mother.
You know, I don't remember saying that. Maybe he's making that up for the joke.
Maybe he's probably, but you know,
Patty's smart. I don't like custom dice.
Yes.
For role playing games. I don't like that.
No.
But I like Legend of the Five Rings roll and keep dice pool. I like that.
Yeah. I'm not a custom dice guy. I like the Star Wars. The new Genesis system? Yeah, that's not my thing. But
The DCC stupid odd-numbered dice, odd-sided dice.
Right.
Anyway.
There was this will be connected to playstyle a teensy bit. There was a guy, Biddy Jen, I'm calling him out because he was really cool, on Facebook. Some guy had asked. He was like, I got this new clone, I've compiled Holmes AD&D, and would you guys be interested in looking at it? And people are like, yeah, lay it down. And I was like, don't give us all of it. Just give us the overview. And then this guy, Benny Jen, and I really like this response. He said, respectfully, I'll pass. As mentioned earlier, there are more than enough rule sets, variants, clones, combo, rewrites, etc. I would add there's more than enough games. But good luck with yours. What the community really needs, community, are competent writers of modules and campaigns who don't take themselves too seriously and don't try to reinvent the wheel.
That's a lot of that's subjective.
I agree.
What's and a this, stupid because you didn't read the whole thing.
Oh,
they don't try gimmicks. To reinvent the wheel with stupid gimmicks. With
stupid gimmicks. I didn't finish that off. Sorry.
That would be nice for them to list a few examples of stupid gimmicks. Mm-hmm. What do they mean really by taking themselves too seriously? If you are writing a product for sale, you should take yourself seriously enough to get the product out for public consumption, and it should be shouldn't look like crap. So you have to take yourself seriously to some degree. But what do they mean by too seriously? Okay. Perhaps what they mean is that you aren't Randy could wear a beanie cap and have, you know, a little goatee right here and call himself an artiste because, you know, you are a professional published game person, right?
That's funny. So
that would be taking yourself too seriously, but I'm not sure what else.
Okay. I want to clarify before me and David come to blows here. David Gwill says, quote, there are more than enough games. And then he says, disagree. And I knew he would. But let me clarify. So the reason I like this is because for old man Randy, I'm going to say this. I don't want to offend people.
I would say you have enough games.
Correct. If no one ever made another RPG, I'm completely good. Right. Having said that, doesn't mean I won't buy them. Doesn't mean I'm not interested in Dungeons & Delvers version 2, David. This doesn't mean that I wouldn't listen to another clone and be intrigued by it.
No. Clicked the wrong one.
Oh.
Weird guy says, we only need one more game, the one I make. And then look, we can stop.
I'm talking about making a game, but, you know, and I'm not saying I won't, but I think new settings, new adventures, and honestly, I was kind of inspired by Ryan David's Greenhaven. I am falling in love again with systemless supplements. This is just me. I think I get frustrated when someone makes an RPG and then you never, ever, ever get any adventures for it. You know, it takes forever. And sometimes they'll put a short one in the book or a version of play. I get that gamers are like, I want the new shiny. There are gamers that like reading, like our buddy Patrick loves to read RPGs just to get ideas for what he might want to play. And he likes to pull mechanics out of different games, and that's fine. But for me, I think I am more fascinated by the idea as a creator. If I make a setting or a small, tiny portion of a setting like Greenhaven, a city, I can take that genericized setting and run it with any rules that I want. But to be fair, I'm not saying with 100% everybody should think this way. But if I had a choice tomorrow, they said, look, you can have a glut of RPGs. So as of the end of 2024, there will be 300 new role-playing games. Or by the end of 2024, there will be 300 settings, adventures, campaigns, many settings, and many of them system neutral. That will be put out and you can access. Randy would take the latter without even thinking about it.
Right. You like buying modules and settings. Right. But that's more a Randy thing than a universal rule, which is cool because we're talking about our opinions here on this stream.
Absolutely.
So I hate when people talk about community in a thing that's not a community. We all are players of a hobby. We all have adopted the same hobby. We here Biggest Geekus and the folks that listen and come back for more. You can consider us an internet community. And now that we have met many of you on in person at our con, you can more call us a community from that point of view. But the entire hobby space is not a community. It's several, many, hundreds, thousands of communities that act independently. So to say something weird like what the community really needs is like you can't speak that to a whole community.
He spoke only to me.
I know, but he's saying the community needs.
Correct, but I'm saying all I did was steal the idea.
Sure, I'm not yelling at you.
Yeah, yeah, you can. It's
are you
okay? I'll be all
you,
right. You can.
You need a safe space.
Right, I do need.
What I'm.
Yeah, I'm good. I feel you.
So what I'm saying is not your point of view because I kind of do agree. Sometimes I think that there's more value in settings and modules, but then people, you know, it depends on who you're talking to. When you hear people rave about, hey, I like having going into a game store or looking online and seeing lots of options for games, and I want to buy all of them. There's a lot of people like that. And then they don't want modules. They want to make their own adventures. Mm-hmm. They don't want settings. They want to make their own. But then you talk to other people, and they're like, I already have all the rules I'll ever need. I'd rather have a ready-made setting. A lot of people want modules because they don't have time to make their own. So there's room enough in the hobby for all of these things.
I would like to see more of settings and adventures, though. I feel like the games are more prevalent. And maybe it's just a gut feeling, but I'd have to count them. I think the games are more prevalent. The new games are more prevalent than new adventures for the games. No, you could use Pathfinder. They do their adventure pass. They poop out a whole bunch of adventures.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of good comments here. Disco Barbarian says, to be clear, there are more games than any single human can ever play. That being said, raise your hand if you have ever read a game and not said pretty cool, but yeah, sure. And people dig that. I mean, especially, you know, David Gwill's a big fan of, you know, the games. He likes to figure stuff out. He always says, make your own game. And I'm not saying I won't, you know. Mac Thompson says, I spend a fair amount of time converting shit from one game to another because I want the plot, story, maps. Yeah, I would love for the plots. Like, I have a book. Oh, God. It was Engine Publishing. And they have it. Well, hold on. It's up here. Let me see if I can find it. Engine Publishing, where they did 501 plots or whatever. And I love that book. That's inspired me to do a couple of things.
Right.
And looks like Shadow and Sun, he says, you will love, talking to me, Randy, you will love system agnostic settings from Shadow Sun Studios. Right on, brother. I'll be looking for them if they're not already there. Patrick brings up a good point, too. Well, hold on. Elle's got a comment that I found interesting. He's talking to Patty, but he says, the problem is every hack out there think they can reinvent D&D and produce something worth getting paid for. It's all the same crap. Fine if you make it for yourself, but you know what, Elle? I don't know if I agree with you fully, because if you make it, put it out there. If someone likes it, great. You know, I don't care.
If you only sell five copies, you only sell five copies.
Yeah, I mean, I only made, 20 or 30 copies. I've still got 8-10 left. I mean, yeah, I never expected to make a bundle or nothing on the physical copy. This intrigues me a lot. Patrick's comment. Demo says, I wonder if people don't focus on adventures because many turn their noses up at published adventures. There is a segment of people, especially in the D&D land.
Mm-hmm. Well, according to a lot of them, it's a railroad.
Yeah. And I just like, okay. And maybe that's, and I know at one time I was at the Gen Con when I heard a lot of the third party people during the Switch. It was the Gen Con before they went, maybe it was the Gen Con they went to 3.5. And they were talking about how that was when the first thing I heard about it, modules only sell to one person at a table.
Correct.
That's the Dungeon Master. So I get the business side of it. I do.
But the thing is, if you make a bunch of adventures and a lot of DMs buy multiple of your adventures, you can still turn it into something that's at least a side hustle.
Yeah.
If you just make one, maybe not.
I know I need to make another one. Maybe I can become a side hustle on a dream. Max says, I think modules will make a huge comeback. Too many very inexperienced GMs out there. Now, I think he is true. I think 5e brought a lot of new blood into the hobby, and they probably do need some help. Iron Man singing my song. He goes, I always thought too many YouTube channels talk rules and rules and rules. We have not enough setting and adventure talk. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, because I think the reason there's more controversy and difference of opinion to be had when we're talking about rules. So THACO, what is THACO? What's easier, adding or subtracting? Should we add this or that or the other thing? And then you're going to have 50 people with 50 different takes on combat and all that. But setting, I don't think it has the same. I think you can have interesting conversations, but there's not as much rage-inducing talk
in settings for
it's
settings.
Less spicy.
Yeah, we missed it because I was talking that Dice Tales had to boogie for dinner. We're glad he showed up. He's always got a good perspective, interesting perspective.
Yeah.
Patty says, "I'm definitely one of those, Joe. I love different rules, but I usually like my own settings. Chaalt has been the only setting I've ever enjoyed romping around in as a DM, though the Iron Kingdoms are pretty sweet too." Yeah. weird guy. Join the OSR. You can make tens of dollars.
That's funny.
Oh. My adventure is an adventure. Yes, it's not a game system. Correct. It is not.
Right.
It
has the same. Okay, so if you have a DM-centric product, whether it's a DM guide or a DM advice thing or a module or a setting, those are usually one person at the table getting them. But if you have a book that has rules in it, especially little bits of rules like for third edition feats or races or magic items or spells, stuff like that, then everybody at the table can benefit from buying it.
Yeah.
And then adventures are the same. You know, adventures are the DM buy.
Yeah. Max says, wait, what new topic do we trans? So the topic is that I'm claiming it's from a Facebook post that I was involved in. I thought settings and I wanted more settings and adventures, less systems. That's just Randy's comment. Right. I think I would probably purchase more again. I'm really cut down my buying quite a bit. Not that I don't buy stuff. I am still a bit of a whale in more than one way. But I am, for the hobby, I'm likely to get out there and buy crap. Joe knows that. But it was kind of a comment that I thought, I'm basically saying system settings and adventures are more important than systems. They are for me. And I would love to see more system agnostic. Mac also adds, when did this start? That means people not liking modules. Modules used to be all the rage. We love seeing the latest ones. Yeah, I remember that. I couldn't wait for certain adventures to come out, and I would see it in Dragon Magazine like, man, I can't wait till that gets published.
But it's not a monolithic thing.
No.
So no. Even the idea that we don't want no modules around here, we're going to make our own, that's not monolithic either. There's been maybe some trends that get talked about online, but there are people who like modules because it saves them time. Mm-hmm. They don't have to do as much prep except to read.
Right.
And then some people just, they open it up at the table, take off the cling wrap, and they say, here we go.
or they'll jump in and go, oh, that's a cool premise. I like the map. That's what I'm using. And they'll take off.
Right. Modules, and then a lot of us have fond memories of playing it through particular classic modules. So all this is really subjective. That's why what the community really needs is a phrase that I wish people would never use, because you need to define a lot of that. What is the community? Define what the need is.
The community is all people who play role playing games. How about that?
Yeah, there are too many different kinds of people in there to call it a thing.
1D, 2D people, 3D people, 4D people. Practical question. L says, Joe, are there more games or adventures on Big Geek Emporium?
If I had to guess, I would say probably more systems than adventures. But I'd have to look. I'm not sure off the top of my head.
Yeah. L has another question. Randy, the problems come to adventures when there are too many systems. Module A built for game three. Game four has one different rule, so demand module. Yeah, and see, I don't. And module A ported to game four with a single rule change. That's why I would want a generic. I would love to try to write a generic adventure with no stats, but common wisdom says that doesn't sell, even if it's in the fantasy realm, which is weird to me. You could use your own rules or whatever you want to play with. I would say experienced GMs would find more value from that, but maybe inexperienced would too.
It's a taste thing, which is subjective.
Yeah, it is. It really is. Because you do have people that are like, poop on modules. There's no way that I would ever do that.
So I can say, I could see having more that there, that I could see that there is more utility from a system neutral adventure or setting, mm-hmm. because then you can use it no matter what system, you know, provided that if it's a fantasy setting, you're using a system that lends itself to fantasy or builds itself, or it's a universal. So there's probably more utility out of those things overall.
Mac,
a lot of people buy based on system.
Yes, so they do.
If you call your adventure a system neutral, then they're going to say, well, I got to do extra work with this thing. So they won't buy it.
Yeah, they want it packaged and canned, not in a bad way. They just want it. Larry Elliott tries to answer your question, I think, and maybe a lot of things. He says the overall hobby is like a state, a hobby of role-playing games. The various games and the different styles of play are the cities, which are like communities. Or maybe the games are cities, and maybe the styles of plays are communities.
Yeah, it's too diverse.
Find the community you like, maybe more than one.
To call it a thing.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, how can you call a hobby the hobby space that have people who will play Horse Girl and people who will play old school D&D and say that their needs are the same?
Right. Their needs aren't the same, but they're both in the hobby of playing RPGs, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah,
Horse Girl's a stretch. I'm not even sure I'd put that into RPGs.
Well, some would. I'm just saying.
Maybe, yeah.
It's too high level of a
maybe grouping
to RPGs. Have much meaning to it.
I would say you could argue RPG is too nebulous.
Correct, because there's lots of different kinds.
David Grill asked me a question, says the main issue is if the monsters in the system neutral adventure are too strong, too weak, whatever. Same for any magic items and treasure. Could require a lot of conversion. It could, but you could say goblins and leave it at that. And if someone wants to, I mean, how hard is it to replace one monster with another? I guess I'm not put off by that. I can change things out, but I understand how someone could think that.
If someone wants something they can pick up off the shelf and use right away, then your system neutral one is probably not for you, because you will have to do some kind of work.
Yeah. It's adding numbers. Now, if I make a generic adventure and say the sword allows you to teleport, and you're like, this is for fourth level characters, I'm not letting them teleport all over the place with a stupid sword, which might be a reaction of mine. You can make it dimension door in your game.
That's work.
You can make it as not that much work.
Some I would argue people it's don't little. Want any of them.
Oh, geez. Okay.
Well, that's the way some people are. They just want to run the module.
I guess so. Yeah. I mean, right. I get it. It's not for everybody. I guess just for me, I'm just kind of the guy.
That's right. Like, right. So that's why I'm saying a lot of this is so subjective. So, and I'm with you. It's not much work. Just like adding whole numbers on your character sheet and when you're playing isn't anything to worry about. But some people are like, it's math. And I'm like, oh, wow. What's the deal with that? But some people are like that. And you can't just poo-poo on everybody like that, because I mean, you can, but
you can, but it's not the wise thing to do. David no. Will does make a good point from my comment. He says, come on, Randy, your game won't even have magic items or adventure. Yes, correct.
Yeah, so that's not what you're going to worry about. But when you say goblin,
yeah,
I mean, some people make goblins out to be super tough.
Yeah. David's making good objectives. He says mud swords should be easy because it makes you just omit the magic items from the treasure and the spell books. So why have spells? What? In the end, why have spells in mud sword?
Or a treasure chapter.
Yeah.
Treasure?
It is slimming down.
You players that have went through that whole module or that whole dungeon, killed 500 different evil monsters, do you expect treasure? I'm not giving you nothing for free.
I'm not putting both of them up there, but I'm gonna meld them together. Disco Barbarian says, laugh out loud, teleport willy-nilly is too much power for any level. Fight me. Joe's going to fight you because he loves teleporting every level, yeah. Even a second level.
Oh, no, hold on. Why does discussion, this is from Arn Man, does discussion of a setting or adventure need to meet everyone's needs?
Doesn't need to.
Nope.
Correct. I think Joe's kind of arguing it almost can't. I mean, if Joe and I said, hey, we're going to talk about Dark Sun next week, there are people probably, I'm out, don't care.
Right.
That's okay. I mean, that's a fine thing. I have no issue with that.
Or just, I think what he's really talking about is an adventure that you want to make,
mm-hmm.
right? That adventure doesn't need to meet everyone's needs.
No.
You're going...
Nor the setting.
Just calling it a fantasy or a setting. Just calling it a fantasy setting. Not everybody that's a role player wants a fantasy setting. They're not in fantasy. Maybe they're Westerns. So you're not going to meet everyone's needs with any particular product, which is buying into my, this isn't a community. It's several. Because different subsets of our hobby are after different things.
To be honest,
different needs.
Even in wants. Our cabin con group,
they all have
20 something people. We have different needs. A lot of them don't. I mean, we got guys that love the 5e and they're into it and they play the 5e stuff, and Joe and are like, new 5e book means nothing,
right?
Don't care, trash, don't care. Next.
So even our small group has subsets, though. If you have a game that you want to run at Cabin Con, just about everybody there will at least think about playing in it. They may not all get to, because you know, people will fill up your table, but most of us are willing to pay to play whatever, because we all have all played games at Cabin Con with each other up to now. Mm-hmm. For what is it, Cabin Con 18 coming up, or 17?
Yeah, 18 is this year. Yeah,
18, because it's now legal.
Yes. We were talking with Patrick, that should be the t-shirt. Cabin Con's finally legal. We got 18. So
this is 18 years in a row. And I think we've gotten to the point where if I run a game, there'll be people want to play. If you want to run a game, there's lots of us that will run a game that, by and large, people will say, yeah, I'll play that. And they won't really care what the system is.
Weird guy. So we got to be careful because some people get confused. So there is Big Geek Con. Big Geek Con is September 20 to 22nd. That's when we're inviting everybody to. Cabin Con is a separate quote-unquote convention. That's not a convention. We just gather our boys up here that we know. We go up north in early spring and play games there. Big Geek Con is the one that's kind of open to everybody. Though, right. If you really, really wanted to come up here first weekend in May, I wouldn't say no. We'd give you a shot, weird guy. We're pretty selective, though. You would be tested.
There, but you know, there is a big lake out where we're at.
That's correct.
So you know, you want to be wary of a bunch of guys out in the middle of nowhere where there's a lake. You don't
better,
know them.
You better bring the correct play style and join our community. Right. No, just to clarify, Cabin Con is a different beast than Big Geek Con. Yes, correct. Patty says, Cabin Con is a gaming lodge, the cool kids' table of big geeks. Right on, dude.
Well, Cabin Con has been going on long before we were biggest geekists or Big Geek Emporium.
Yeah, Big Geek Con is the second one this year.
Yeah.
Cabin Con is 18, and but Martinson, I'm not even putting that up. Not saying he's wrong, but do you see what Martinson wrote?
Which one?
The very last one. Well, you now it's the second
one. A bunch of lube.
So Joe said it anyway. We do joke a lot like that.
What? You said don't say it out loud?
That's what I was not going to, but you did. So I didn't want to.
I've already said words people have said don't say online.
Mac Thompson says.
None of them have been bad. But
he's not scared by our threat. He said he grew up in Michiana. Big Lakes don't scare him none.
Good deal.
Right on, dude. Bring it. Come up to Gavin Con 2. Take a trip in May. Take a trip in September.
Boat grease? Is that a thing?
Hey, man.
I've never heard of boat grease.
Whatever works.
I've heard of boats, and I've heard of grease.
Cal says,
does boat grease make it go across the water better?
Cal says, am I being threatened with a good time? Martin says, yes, sir. He didn't mean to make it sound scary. It's all done in love. So, I played a little Dark Sun, but all right. So, yeah, that's interesting. It is Randy's perspective. So I'm just settings, system neutral, adventures over new systems. And again, doesn't.
Okay. Boat grease. Okay, maybe it was a typo, but he's calling boat grease lubing your trailer bearings.
We've done that up there.
Should be bearing grease.
We've looped.
Lubing the bearings. Can we segue that into something lewd?
Of course you can. Well, Patty says something about hitching grease. So. Patty says, hitching grease, one weekend at the cabin, a lifetime of looking at that 1D20 in a very different way. Just sits at your table, you're like, oh my God. Right. What happens at Cabin Con stays at Cabin Con until we get back and then we talk
until it goes on Facebook.
Until it goes on Facebook. Yeah. Oh, yeah. What happens at big geek cons happens everywhere. So,
yeah.
You know, maybe, no, I ain't saying that. Not promising nothing. We'll see what happens. So, anyway, I think that's all I wanted to say about settings. That basically, I'm right. You should want settings and adventures over your
systems. I'm going to say different people have different wants.
I don't like that, but I'll agree with you. I don't like the fact that people don't all want the stuff that I want.
It may be that the industry, the production side of our hobby, goes through cycles where a lot of material has been released out into the wild, mm-hmm. and there's been enough, there's only so much money in the system. And so that money has been captured. And then there's a period where it lulls, mm-hmm. and then it goes up and down. And I don't know, I'm not even interested in knowing what those are.
Okay.
But, I'm sure that there is something to that. So, and then, you'll have more or less content to purchase.
Mm-hmm.
And then people will probably, their discussions, I wonder if there's some correlation between the discussions, online discussions, and in chat rooms and whatnot,
mm-hmm.
that more or less mirror that kind of up and down thing.
Maybe.
Because a lot of people buy the stuff, then they talk about it, and then there's a lull in buying, so less people are going to be talking about
this. I buy way too, like probably like a lot of other people, I buy way too much stuff and never get it to the table, and that annoys me, and that's probably part of it. I mean, if I don't play Dungeons and Delvers, well, I got to run it at Big Geek Con. I already said I would, so that's one that's happening. If I don't play Dungeons and Delvers and Castles and Crusades this year, I'm going to whoop Joe's ass. I just wanted to say that. That was funny.
I'm just sitting here innocently.
No, I need to do
streaming live.
I know.
Had a 10-hour day.
I've said two or three cuss words.
Freezing cold and rain.
I've said two or three cuss words. I've been trying to tone that back. I'm failing miserably. Lord forgive me. I got to get better.
Hold on.
Yep.
Before you talk about that, Armin says, let's discuss the best ways to get good adventures from ChatGPT then. That would be easier. You know, I think I typed into a ChatGPT engine some lame prompt to do an RPG. and it gave me grief. So maybe I need a better prompt.
Yeah, maybe.
Look, because according to some, ChatGP can do anything.
Well, Mac Thompson says that my method for getting good adventures is to never use ChatGPT. I would agree. Oh, L, he says, Randy, you lift pencils. Joe lifts packages. I think he can take you. He might could, but it sounded good.
you do go to the gym a bit.
I do, baby. I can bench press over 200 pounds, so there you go. I'm not a total wuss, just a little bit of a wuss, but you're right. Day to day, Joe's walking. I guarantee his legs would crush me in the nards if he kicked me there. Well,
the thing is, neither one of us beat people up.
I don't fight for a living. That's not a thing that I'm good at. I don't want to be good at it. I am 56, going on 57. I am not in the mood for fighting. So
I think that I would have a much better time training to use a gun than training to beat people up.
Yeah.
It would work much better, much faster.
Yeah.
I actually have training in both.
Yeah. I guess I just, if I had my druthers, we would have less new games out every year, more modules, adventures, settings, and then, but I don't want no new games. I guess I'd like to see a bunch of good games and, you know, filtered through what I think is good. Oh, well.
Right. So, Patty's Parlor says, oof, I don't mind when people use Midjourney to make art, but if I find out someone can't even write their own adventures, just get the F out. Now, right. When I was first reading this, I thought he said, I don't mind when people use Midjourney to make out. And I'm like, well, how do you do that? Well,
I'm sure he doesn't care if that happens either, but probably if they can't write their own stuff,
he doesn't have to see it.
Now, tell me this. If ChatGPT could write a good adventure, would you still be mad? I mean, if someone used it to write it and it was really cool? Yeah.
I think the idea is...
Here we go. Max got us. My dad's old buddy had a t-shirt that read, I'm too old to fight and too fat to run. That's why I carry a gun.
It is a great equalizer. Oh, speaking of... did somebody say t-shirt? So my birthday is tomorrow.
Happy I'll birthday, brother.
I'll be 57. I'm almost retirement age. And my wife
is so much older than me. This guy,
3 months. And my wife got me a pre birthday present. It's this t-shirt that I'm wearing. Yeah,
it's a potato. What is it?
That is
the doggy.
It's a doggy.
Nice.
And she got it because it kind of resembles our new dog, Elizabeth.
Right. Should have a little bit longer beak, though. A little longer schnoz.
A little bit. Well, it's a perspective thing. And, you know, I'm sitting here. You would never know this is a print t-shirt by looking at me right now. It's situated kind of weird in a weird spot.
Yeah, it's a little low, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, it looks like Mac would have been a sophomore when we were seniors. The sophomore, Mac Thompson.
Sophomore.
Outside linebacker.
I know that word has to have some sort of meaning, but I wonder, it doesn't mean year two, I'm sure.
I liked when our guy would call out the years of the people on the team. Sophomore, number 53. That was great. Sophomore.
Thank you, everybody, for saying happy birthday. That's cool. I wasn't saying that to do that.
If I were DMing.
I wanted to share the t-shirt.
If I were DMing. If I were running Horde Wars this Friday when you and I play, I'm hinting to DM Blackwall, I would give you a match guide. Remember I used to do that in old school? You'd have your birthday match guide. I did do that. Remember that?
Yes.
on a player.
And then we never played those characters ever again.
We need to retire them and start over. Yeah, we used to do that.
So my birthday, just to let Elle know, the shirt print is so low when Joe tucks it in, nobody will see the print when the pant waist is in his armpits. Yeah. You know, luckily, I saved myself from that look by not tucking in my shirt.
Oh, I think Patrick's bringing us in some Latin. Sophos, wise fool. Ooh, the wise fool.
Okay. I guess those Greek folks just, you know, were more clever than they needed to be. A wise fool.
Hey, sucker, you got any news from Big Geek Land? I want to give a minimal update on.
So I'm off all weekend, and I'm hoping that I can work to solve some of the issues that we have over there with it being slow and not loading very well. So
how Patrick's bragging. He said it's Greek, actually, Randy. Greek. Excuse Greek. Me.
What did you say?
Latin. Latin.
How could you think that was Latin?
Because I don't know Latin, and therefore, I'm just
everything's
gonna call,
Latin.
Everything's Latin from here on out.
Everything that's not English
that's,
is
that's
Latin.
That's my rule of thumb. Well, you speak Latin. That's you speak Latin very well for someone from Germany. Don't be sorry, Patrick. Do it. Spread that intelligence all over the place. It's okay. We'll mop it up.
Yeah. So I'm just gonna twist the knife a little bit more, Randy, and say, you know, when we talk about fraternities, it's mm-hmm. about Greeks. Mm-hmm. All of the names, they have that alpha, theta, phi, stupid nonsense. Mm-hmm. So you should have really known.
I know Greek alphabet, alpha, beta, gamma. Yeah, all that crap. I should be able to sprick it. Cal says it is Bill at Dungeon Delver's birthday today. Happy birthday, fella. I like that dude. Oh, he seemed like a good cat.
I saw on Facebook that today is either the day that let me just pull it up here so I can say the right thing. It probably will. Oh yeah, they had to reload. They just had to reload, didn't they? Now I'm never going to be able to find it.
What?
Some famous authors, either their day they died or their birthday was today. Is today?
Oh, awesome.
Oh, he's Robert E. Howard. Robert E. Howard, Conan guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're so close to that. I'm going to find out what famous person, geek person's birthday's on my birthday.
None of them.
That means I got it all to myself, as it should be. Yeah. Now that I'm an auteur.
You are auteur, a unique being.
A unique loser. Yeah. All right. So as far as Big Geek Con 2, this is the big daddy convention of them all, or a small tiny one in Michigan.
September it's going to become the convention.
It's going to be the convention of 70 people one day.
You know why? You know why it's going to become the convention?
Why?
The gaming convention? The RPG gaming convention?
Yeah, why is that?
Because that's what we're going to do. That's all we're going to do. We're not going to have all this other bull crap that these other conventions, well, especially the biggest one, mm-hmm. all these other, we're not going to care about. I mean, if you want to dress up and cosplay or whatever, that's your big deal. That's your deal. We're not going to.
We'll completely ignore you.
Yeah, no, we will do that.
We won't. We'll fake.
Oh, good you're job. Cosplaying? Who's that person?
That's there? A very cool purple creature of some sort that I don't recognize because they all do anime now and I don't know any of them. So it doesn't
matter. Right. So if you want to cosplay, that's cool. But we're not. It's not going to be. We're not going to institute it. What we're going to do is have tables for you to play your games at. And we will play, yes, in Saginaw. We will have games that we can all play. And it's going to be about playing role-playing games. It's not going to really be about anything else.
Correct. That's the name of the game. All we do is eat, sleep, and play role-playing games. That's all that it does. It eats. That's Jaws. Anyway, Friday, September 20th through Sunday, the 22nd. We're thinking Friday and Saturday may now be an 8 a.m. to an 11 day, and Sunday may be an 8 a.m. till early day, 4 o'clock, 2 o'clock. Who knows? Because people want to get out of there. We'll figure out Sunday. Anybody that wants to come, Joe, have you got the place? I got a couple of folks from VentureCons that need to know some information. Are you going to get the tabletop event set up? It's going to be $30, Saginaw, Michigan, 4 points by Sheraton's. We will post on, can we still use the website? It'll give you the address and where you got to call to get your hotel reservation.
Yeah, I actually have it pretty much set up. We just have to have the times set. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much
we are set to... Friday 8 to 11, Saturday 8 to 11, Sunday, let's just say 8 to 4.
Okay. How about that? I'll set those times up. Mm-hmm. What we'll will come in time, hopefully within a month, is where you can, well, we'll have to have people submit games. So I don't know if we're going to, if I'm going to submit it for, have an open submission there on Tabletop Events, mm-hmm. or for the, we're just going to have them send us, send them to us in a different way. And then I post them there. I haven't decided. I think we're going to do that. Second,
I have a format that you might want to use if they send it to you, so that people should give it the information that needs to be given. This year, we're going to have a room for just a purely kids game. Not that kids can't play in other games, but we're going to have a kids room. I really hope. Later, Patty. Take care, bro. Max said, Thompson said he definitely wants to be in a chainmail bikini. Actually, he says, you don't want me in a chainmail bikini, like ever. You assume a lot, Mac. We might. It would be funny.
And by we, he means he.
Mac and I both can come in. We can be the chainmail bikini twinsies.
Right. So did you show this one? Command Post Gaming says chainmail bikini required or at least encouraged?
Not really, but I have to admit, in my under my younger days of dark evilness thoughts, I would have said yes. I do remember sometimes fondly, unfortunately, Gen Con and the chainmail bikini babes. 50 Shades of Randy L. Killing me, dude.
Mac also asks, please, and never move it to Flint or Motor City.
No danger.
Yeah. I think as long as it can be held here in Saginaw, or here is Bay City.
Bay City, Saginaw, Midland, one of those areas, we'll do
as
it.
As long as we have a place that will accommodate the crowd, you know, in Saginaw, the same place right now, I don't see any reason why we don't stay there until it's just too big for it.
Yeah, and we hope, and part of us hope it never gets
that. Detroit and Flint, no. I think that even in Saginaw, there's bigger places we can use.
Yeah.
I mean, they have a convention center.
Cal shouts out, come by tomorrow for Diversity and Dragons latest. Looks like it's going to be a fun one. I think Cal is one of his moderators. Is that right, Cal? That's a good channel anyway. I would definitely encourage people.
Yeah, I like that fellow over there.
To listen to him. He's pretty reasonable, dude. I think his dudes would fit in well. We'd have a good time. We should have him on the show. What do you think of that, Joe?
Sure.
We should have Double D on the show, and I'd love to talk with him about his gaming history and kind of, because he started out and his show just blew up. Cal's the mod. So, hey, Cal, I tell you what, I'll just, Cal, why don't you send him a little feeler if he'd be interested in being on a tiny little show like Big as Geek is. Yeah, Double D. He's a good cat. He said he can command. Command Post Gaming says, I can only boat to Michigan. Gordon Lightfoot, anybody?
That's anyway. Not a pleasant reference.
Stopping in to say hi. Hello, Hungar.
Hey, Hungar.
Thank you, Cal.
Hopefully you are at home in your own bed and not in the hospital bed.
Yes, sir.
Hopefully you are healthy. We are all wanting you to be healthy.
So 4 points by Sheraton in Saginaw. The address will be there. The phone number will be put in. Looking at $114 per night for the room, which sounds expensive, and it is, but it's not the end of the world. The Sheraton's a pretty nice little place. If we can get 10 people.
Good.
It'd be cool.
Hungar's at home. Yay.
Excellent, sir. Anything else, Joe? I think we're about ready to scoot on out of here.
I think we are.
All the links to do all the things and check out all our stuff at Big Geek Emporium and all that good stuff.
And for Big Geek Con, look for us hopefully by next week at the latest. Mm-hmm. We will have the Tabletop Events link ready. And hopefully a couple weeks after that, we'll start having either open submissions right there to Tabletop Events, or we'll just collect them ourselves and then I will post them.
Yeah,
one way or the other, we're going to have it. I want it to so that people can sign, get their badge there at Tabletop Events and sign up for games right there.
Let me do something real quick for you, Boogie. I want to give Max some info and everybody else about the place. Hopefully it'll let me do it. And can I also put, can I put a phone number in the chat? This is their phone number. You can also find this. You can just Google this dang place. Mention Big Geek Con 2, and you'll get that $114 rate for Friday and Saturday night. And I plan to be there the whole time. Joe may have to duck out for part of one day, and we'll see what happens. But got some other plans, got some goodies to give away. We might do some other things, but Joe and I've got some chatting to do. So,
do we have split rooms like old Gen Con days, Command Post Gaming? What do you mean?
You can if you want to, man. He must split. He's talking like back in the old days, dude, we put like 6-7 people in a room. Have sleeping bags. That's gonna
get to you guys.
You do what you want, man. It doesn't hurt my feeling. Thank you, Cal. He says he's messaged Double D in Discord. Yeah, we did. I just like to have him on and chat with him. I like to know where his where he kind of got his idea for his show. And he does some really
What are you doing?
I'm messing with stuff. Quit it, Joe.
I'm going to take away your rights here.
You're taking my right to I'm going to fight for my right.
I'm going
to
be like the Democrats.
I'm going to fight for my right to play D&D. Well,
I'll be like politicians. Both sides like to do that.
Cal says, what's the rates? $114 a night. I think that's outrageous, but that's supposed to be a deal. So,
well, I mean, if you're going under $100, that's more like motel rates than hotel rates.
Yeah,
I'm not sure what they offer. I don't even know what that whole space is for. What is good for a room? What is a good price for a room?
Max says it's normal. Patrick made a comment. The whole 3 days, 4 nights of Cabin Con, a different thing, is cheaper than that one night there. But that's because we're $190 a night where Cal is. Yeah, so you're getting a deal, bro. Fly out, man. I know it's a lot to ask. Just love to see you, Cal. It'd be cool.
Yeah, so. Flying out and 114 a night.
Okay.
Yeah, so the rate, you also have to, you know, put what hotel it is, because five-star, this isn't a five-star hotel. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know what the rates would be for a five-star. Five-star is probably way out of most of our price range. I don't even know if it's a star.
Yeah.
Would that hotel have a star rating?
Oh, yeah. I think it's a 3 or 4 star. It's not three bad. Or four? I think it's a 3. Okay. I think it's a 3. Yeah. It's a nice enough place. Yeah. Nothing fancy. Right on, Cal. No worries, brother. We understand. All right. I think we should get, though, as Joe likes to say, get the H out of here.
Get the flunk out.
We'll have more details next week, hopefully. And anyway, you ready, Joseph?
I am ready.
All right, guys, thanks for the chat tonight. It was great. Good stream. This is Randy.
And this is Joe.
And remember, if you can't be big like us, then be geeks like us.